Hi, I'm Terry Meekin. Welcome to Roving Report.
Three million people worldwide have multiple sclerosis. You might even know somebody yourself. This is the story of two people. One, known as Patient Zero, decided to take himself close to death in order to beat it. The other is a doctor from Imperial College London, specialising in the research and treatment of multiple sclerosis. These are their stories. First up, Patient Zero. I asked how he was first diagnosed with MS and the radical stem cell treatment he went through in order to stop it.
I fell down the stairs on New Year's Eve, not drunk, trying to get to work, and when I landed on the bottom of the stairs, something was wrong. My hands weren't doing what I wanted it to. So then I foolishly went to work and then waited a few days before going to A&E. And then they put me through a CT scan and I had 3 or 4 x-rays. They were hoping it was a trapped nerve. And they came back and they said, yes, your spine's intact. You haven't broken anything, so you can go on your way. But you need to speak to your GP as you've got something on your brain, but I don't know what it is, but you need to chase this out with your local doctor.
And what did the doctor say?
She said she'll put me in contact with the neurology team. And when I went to the neurologist, he got me to do all these movements with my hand, which I wanted to do, my hands wanted to do, but they weren't doing it. He went and got the head consultant, and he got me to do exactly the same again. He said, I know what it is, just from what you've said. Multiple sclerosis.
So then they did what tests?
Well, my first MRI scan, and they could see what was happening in my brain.
And what did it show?
Honestly, you know muffins with sprinkles on? The sprinkles is all the inflammation, when it relapses, in my brain.
MS is inflammation of the nerve sheaths, and they could see that physically in the
very
MRI
active
scan. Only in your brain, was it?
No, the reason that I've lost my hands, it affects your spinal column and brain. The last final determination of MS, they give you a lumbar puncture.
What did the neurologist then say to you was the options for people with MS?
They've got hundreds of booklets, and the MS team, or the MS nurses, they're there to help you, and they don't beat around the bush. They're not happy-go people, because you know what the outcome's going to be. They say what you can have, like, take the tablet every day for the rest of your life.
That's one form of treatment. What was another one you could have had?
There's another one where you can go in monthly and have it on infusion, where they put the drug into you again.
Every month for what?
Rest of your life.
Rest of your life. Okay, that's two treatments you could have considered. Thirdly?
Tecfidera. Tablet one again, but once a week. Tysabri, which is infusion again. And there was another one, Lemtrada. Lemtrada is a 5-day infusion, and then you're released, and then a year later, you're given an infusion again for 3 days, and that should be the end of your treatment.
And it's supposed to suppress MS?
There is no cure for this disease.
When did you get onto this cutting-edge trial, this HSCT trial? How did that come about?
Went to the neurologist, and he said, have you made your decision? I said, yes, Lemtrada. He said, what about these? I said, no. I said, I could forget one tablet. I said, I'd rather just go straight for Lemtrada than I've got to have it over 5 days because I can't have part. He said, okay. And then Mum said, what about that trial in Sheffield? And neurologist said, I didn't think about that. Yes, you fit my criteria to send him a letter to recommend him.
So HSCT is a bit of an acronym, but basically it means a blood transfusion using stem cells as a treatment for holding MS at bay.
HSCT is full-blown treatment, which they give to people with leukemia and things like that, or blood cancers.
So they've taken a treatment which they use for blood cancers, and they've moved it into doing trials on holding MS at bay. What did they tell you was going to happen to you? What could be the benefits and what could be the downside of it?
The benefits would be to stop or halt MS completely.
For the rest of your life?
Yes. The downside would be death.
As a result of the treatment?
Yes.
Toes turning up?
Yes, because it's 6 months worth of chemotherapy in 5 days.
That's a very aggressive treatment. What do they do to you?
It's in two parts, really. First part is called the harvest, and that's where you have 2 days of chemotherapy to kill off your immune system, but it stimulates the stem cells being brought out, which is why you have 5 days after the chemo injections into the stomach.
What was in the stomach injections?
A growth factor called GSF.
And what does this do?
Growth factors are proteins made in the body, and some of them make the bone marrow produce blood cells. It makes the stem cells move from the bone marrow into the blood, and they need to collect the new baby stem cells from my body as a part of the treatment.
How do they collect these baby stem cells?
After the 5 days of stomach injections, the effect of growth factor kicks in, and my body was making baby stem cells like there was no tomorrow. Unfortunately, the side effect was agony. It was like accelerated growing pains all over my body and caused so much pain I had to have oral morphine for 36 hours until they harvested the new stem cells. The nursing staff were sorry. It is causing you so much pain, but it shows that it's working.
How did they get these new stem cells out of your body?
They connected a machine into my groin by a cannula, which sucked out the blood and passed through to a machine which actually extracted the stem cells, then passed the blood back into my body via another cannula in my arm. I was so relieved that the growing pains stopped when the stem cells were getting out of me. The stem cells were then frozen for use in the second part of the treatment.
After the stem cells have been taken into your body, what happens next?
Then I had a 3 week break to recover from this part of the treatment. That then it was time to put the frozen baby stem cells back in. They did this by firstly wiping out my existing stem cell count by giving me 5 days of chemotherapy and then inserting the new baby stem cells that I previously harvested back into my body. For the main event, I had a Hickman line.
So what's a Hickman line?
It's a small tube that is put into my neck and passed through to touch the top atrial of my heart. So that was the easiest place to put all the drugs that I had.
And the stem cells?
Yes. I did panic, thinking it would cause exactly the same pain as what I had with the first harvest. But the staff did assure me that it wasn't as strong, the dosage. There's a 20-minute window from the moment they defrost it for it to get back into me.
You got the stem cells back in your body, what happens next?
They then had to give me blood and plasma transfusions to bring my blood levels up, and the GSF injections kick in to encourage it.
So you've had all this aggressive treatment. Do you think it's done the job?
I believe it has. However, I won't know until I have my MRI scan.
And when's that?
A month.
Okay, well, we'll come back and see you then and see how you got on.
That was patient zero, who's waiting for the results of his next MRI scan to find out whether the aggressive treatment he put himself through to halt MS has actually worked. Meanwhile, we're going to talk to Dr. Paolo Moraro, who is a clinical reader in neuroimmunology at Imperial College London. His research program is aimed at developing effective therapies for inflammatory diseases like MS.
MS is not thought to be a stem cell disorder. So it's clearly not enough to have the wrong type of genes to get MS. You need the genes plus something else which is in the environment. It could be an infection, a common infection that the body reacts to in an excessive way.
The latest research that I understand from a doctor in Cambridge is that she's found a switch in the immune cell called LIF. It's a binary switch in the autoimmune cell on and off and allows it to differentiate between attacking itself when it needs to, to kill something, and switching it on and letting it run random.
That is a brand new development. It's one of several, I have to say. You know, important as it may be, there are many immune switches that have been found associated with MS over the years. I think it's unlikely that a single switch will be enough to cause the switch to MS in every patient. It could be that there are different switches in different patients and that there are more than one, because we know MS is quite varied. Firstly, it's not a stable disease. It's a disease that can go up and down, particularly in the so-called relapsing remitting phase, but also can be very different in different people with MS. So it can be very mild and affect them barely, or none very significantly, or it can be up to devastating and really affect them profoundly and causing severe disabilities in a few years. So MS is extremely variable, and I think it's very likely, it's very plausible that there will be different switches and different degrees of immune dysfunction in the different patients.
In this particular treatment that we're talking about, this trial treatment which has just been carried out on patient zero, what is the process?
The process consists of taking out from the patient's bone marrow the hematopoietic, which means blood-making, stem cells.
What's the marker to show that you've got those stem cells and not ones that put your extra ears on or legs on?
Yeah, well, firstly, the process that's used to take them out of the bone marrow takes out this stem cell type only. But that's ascertained by using a marker that's called CD34. It's a name, it's just a name. It indicates a certain protein that's expressed by the stem cells that make blood. The treatment that I explained, a short course of chemotherapy together with a growth factor, means that the blood cells become enriched of stem cells enough to the point that these stem cells can be set aside, frozen and stored to give them back to the patient in a bath.
What other sort of stem cells are actually in the bone marrow besides the regenerative ones for the immune system?
It's another type that's called mesenchymal or mesenchymal stem cells. They are able to make cartilage and bone very well, but their main function in the bone marrow is actually to help the blood-making stem cells, the other type, the one we were discussing
through
before.
A catalyst.
To be well. They sort of shelter them, they nourish them. Once they're taken out, however, the mesenchymal stem cells can be used for human therapy as well.
What's the criteria for being a possible suitable candidate?
The main criteria have been variable, but by and large, they have included people with highly active forms of MS. In the recent years, predominantly people with relapsing remitting forms of MS, who presented with the relapses in spite of adequate treatment. And we're talking about disease-modifying treatments, and there are a number of them. We have 11 today. There weren't that many until recently, and there were much fewer treatments or no treatments 20 years ago.
Patient zero felt it was because he was in the early stages and he was a certain age, and that people with more advanced MS, even though it might be relapsing, would not be suitable for the trial. Is that a truth or an untruth?
Yeah, that's true. While transplant seems to work best as early as possible in the disease course, the issue is that we don't know exactly how it compares to other drugs that are approved for MS. So it is difficult, and it certainly is not possible under the NHS to treat patients with a transplant unless they've tried previously other drugs that are approved for the MS indication and failed them because they did not respond. They continue to have MS activity on these drugs. So paradoxically, before somebody can be considered for a transplant, unless it's in the context of a randomized trial, as we were saying, it's not possible to treat as early as we would want, because there are approved MS to treat early in MS, even at the very early stages of MS. And we know that these drugs are safe.
If they were to take an MRI scan of the people who had drug treatment as opposed to people who went through the blood transplant treatment, yeah, would the MRI scans show complete stoppage on both sides?
Yeah, that's the question that requires the trials that we're actually trying to do. I will come to that in a moment. But essentially, we don't have that kind of comparison. We don't have a direct comparison. We know that patients who receive the transplants as part of trials or as a treatment in its own right, large percentages of these patients have done very well. And it could be that the transplant is more efficacious than the majority or all of the approved therapies. But we don't know that for sure because we haven't compared side by side randomly one to another. We also don't know how they directly compare the transplant and the drugs in terms of risks and side effects. So we know in general, what we know from the studies so far is that the autologous hematopoietic transplantation is highly effective, but it does have more side effects and more risks in general than the other approved drugs.
During the course of the treatment, but once the treatment is completed, the risks disappear. It's only the chemo, which is the intake, and you write down to your immune system, almost wipe out.
That's correct. It's not only during the chemo, but also for a few months and perhaps several months after the chemo, the immune system is suppressed to an extent. Initially, it's extremely suppressed. The blood cell count dropped to zero, and that's expected as it forms part of the treatment procedure.
When he's completely zero as regards white blood cell count and the stem cells get reintroduced into the body, what's the genetic or chemical engineering mechanism that sends them off on their journey to repair what they've got to repair? And what do they actually start doing? What do they take out of their little stem cell toolbox?
Sure. These stem cells rebuilds from zero the blood and the immune system. And that's what it repairs. I want to emphasize that the treatment is not known to repair the brain, the nerve cells. There's no evidence that it does do that. There's evidence, however, that it stops the immune-mediated inflammatory process that attacks the nerve cells in the brain. That's what it does. And they start going to places where they can start producing new blood and new immune cells. They go back to the bone marrow, actually, in part, where they start.
And what's the mechanism? Is it an RNA, a DNA? What's the actual transportation mechanism? What drives them on? Where's the motor and the intelligence that tells them where to go?
Yeah, well, it's all mostly driven by soluble factors, by proteins, and by receptors. So the stem cells have receptors that sense chemicals in the body that are proteins, which signal them where to go and what to do. It's all governed essentially by these proteins. There will be proteins for which the stem cells have receptors that tell the stem cell, look, there's zeros blood cells in the body, make red blood cells. And another signal will tell, so another protein will signal to the stem cells, look, there's zero white blood cells, the body is at desperate risk of infection. Start making some white blood cells ASAP. And then the stem cells embark into a program that differentiates them into different types of cells, such as red blood cells, you know, which transport oxygen to the body, white blood cells that fight infection, platelets that fight hemorrhage, and so on and so forth. But they will be all cells of the blood lineage. They will not really make other types of stem cells.
But if you know what the patient's chemical profile is before he has the treatment, and you know what he has after the treatment, can't you then deduce what he had? Because you can say, right, before he had this treatment, this is the markers in his body, which must be causing the MS. Now he doesn't have those, so that must be guiding us to what causing the trouble here.
Absolutely. Terry, this is what almost every laboratory doing research in MS in the world is looking
That's
at. That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, and there must be something visible or chemically visible. Nobody seems to know where it is, but there must be something. You say, take a complete synopsis of what we can with this guy, with all the machinery we have, before and after.
There are dozens of studies of this kind aimed at trying to understand what's wrong. That's why everyone is trying to try and find out which signatures we could find in the proteins that the body make, in the genes that the patients have, in the RNA that gets transcribed from the DNA. All these processes are highly complex, and studies have revealed some changes but haven't still nailed down what's wrong. And it could be that what's wrong is different in every patient.
Hasn't that been forming part of the trial? Because not only to try and cure it and stop it as a patient, the before and after
assessments. Yes, it is. We have done those
analyses. And has anything emerged?
Yes, something has emerged. We saw differing in those patients who completely responded to those who did not completely respond to the therapy was the degree of diversity of their immune system.
The system consists of elements, so
yes.
What are the diverse elements within the system?
The diverse elements are something like there will be an immune cell, and let's say that this immune white blood cell, there's one that recognizes and fights against the flu, okay? And one that recognizes and fights against the common cold, or recognizes and fight against blood infections, TB, any microbes and bugs. And there's many kinds of all these, okay? So that's the kind of diversity we are talking about. Now, amongst the white blood cells, there's not only cells that fight infection, but there's also cells that may attack the body.
Are you able to list every single cell in this diverse series?
Yes. Not in terms of what they recognize, but in terms of the receptors they carry. So it's possible to fingerprint.
You can actually see the difference in the lock-in on the ones that failed and the ones where it came back and the ones where it didn't come back.
Yes. And so the notion I was trying to explain is that so we can catalog cells using molecular methods. We can fingerprint every single cell of the white blood cell system, the immune system, and catalog them. And so what we've seen is that people who responded completely to the transplant has had a very full, completely diverse catalog of immune cells, so lots of diversity, whereas the patients who had continued relapses had less such diversity, meaning that there were dominant groups of cells, which may have been implicated in the MS relapses.
So it could even be the cause of MS. You get dominant cells at the beginning.
Yes, and that's known to happen even in the brain of people who were affected by MS, because molecular studies have revealed that these dominant so-called clones, dominant T-cell clones, which means stacks of cells doing the same things. Imagine like a horde of soldiers
trampling the
brain.
So is there any way to actually engineer greater diversity in people that have got focused diversity in cells?
Yes. To engineer, maybe not yet, but to try and sway the system to generate more diversity, yes. And there has been a trial in Cambridge.
Because that seems to be heading towards your holy grail, because exactly. That seems to be the cause of it.
Yes. I think there are ways to try and steer things towards doing that. We know that transplant, the autologous hematopoietic transplant, does that. So we know that it does increase.
Except in those cases where the diversity still remains focused and it comes back again.
Exactly. It does enhance the diversity as an expected mode of action. When it fails to do so, the efficacy appears to be less. And even though this occurs in a minority of patients, we want to understand better why that happens. Is it that the chemotherapy hasn't worked 100% and some of the cells that existed before, you know, these clones, these autoreactive clones have lived through the chemotherapy?
Surely it must mean also that people with MS have got a less diverse profile in their blood as is at the moment.
Yes, it's not clear cut, but there is some suggestion that it is the case. There's profiles with dominant clones and the more restricted the diversity.
That seems to be the direction to be going into. what you've told me, as a detective.
I think it's a good track that we are pursuing very actively in my group and for the last few years. Now, you know, funding and time is always the limiting factor, but we are keen on expanding on these studies and trying to nail down the possibility that, which is a strong one, that this diversity has an important role.
If you were the chief scientist of the whole world in your field with unlimited funds, what would you spend it on at this point in time to pursue the goal you think, the direction you think would crack the problem?
Firstly, and this will not require more than a few million pounds to conclusively establish the role of autologous hematopoietic transplant in therapy for MS.
So it could become a standard procedure?
It could become a standard procedure, yes. And it's already on the way to be approved by the health authorities for people meeting certain criteria, that is, of highly active, aggressive form of MS, who haven't accumulated as much disability and bodily harm as to take a lot of risk from the transplant. And then, having done that trial, I would also use the same trial to learn as much as we can and ideally unravel what changes in the immune system post-transplant that makes it not self-harming. I think there is a great opportunity there. And there are areas of focus that we are investigating anyway with the available funds and the funds that we are applying for. And one of them is the diversity of the immune repertoire that we've alluded. But there's also other areas.
But that's what you would spend the money on, because you could instinctively feel that's the direction.
Yeah, my instinct is that, yeah, that's the most promising.
That was Dr. Paolo Moraro of Imperial College London. You remember patient zero who was waiting on a second MRI scan to find out whether or not he'd knocked MS out of his system. Well, I caught up with him and I asked him how things were.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a miracle. It's halted the disease in its tracks.
Your thoughts after this? Do you think it should be made a standard treatment on the NHS?
Yes, I do. They always go back to the research, and we haven't got enough research to put it on the NHS. Hopefully with my results and the people before me and the people after me, they have enough now to open it up. They also happen to know that my treatment is 50% cheaper than the one I was going to have.
So it's a no-brainer. Stops it dead in its tracks, and it's cheaper than the existing.
Yes.
You've been listening to a roving report by Terry Meekin, where we've been looking at stem cell transplant using the patient's own blood to stop MS in its tracks. My special thanks go to Patient Zero and Dr. Paolo Moraro, a leading light in MS research at the Imperial College London. You can hear or download more roving reports by visiting www.terrymeekin.com. Terry Meekin reporting on today and tomorrow.